Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome in to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at dmelt57. I've got all my line mates with me this evening for yet another thrilling, enthralling edition of our update of Blackhawks hockey, which has been so much fun once again. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, you can find on Twitter at Jehosa's Witness, Shepard Price.
Hi, I play third line center for the Chicago Blackhawks. My number is 62, and yeah, if you see the number 62 on the ice, that's me, and I'm playing third line center.
How dare you insult Brett Cini like that? Just taking his number right off his back.
Is that really your number? I just made up a number.
I mean, he should have a better number than 62, but it is his number, in fact. So you just cut Brett Cini. Congratulations, Shay.
I did it. The guy who, what, has been an AHL most of his career until now?
Congratulations to Cini for getting into the NHL. Well, no, he played a little bit with, I think, the Devils before he came to the Blackhawks. He'd been in the NHL before, but I think he's getting more consistent games now than he ever has before. I should probably know that, but I also didn't expect us to talk about Brett Cini this early in the episode or at any point at all. So
he played 62 games.
Yeah. So
that's 27.
Lucky number 62.
Yeah. Never more than 10 past that first season with the Devils. So is the most he's played since 2018.
There we go. All right. So that was your Brett Cini minute. Also with us this evening, you can find on Twitter at Mill182, and he is the Second City Hockey what Chris Chaney is to the Living End. It's Mill Savage.
Hi. I actually am going to take this time to promote myself.
Oh.
Because I dropped some new music this week. New video.
Was it this week or last week?
It was Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
But video came out on Thursday, song dropped on Friday on streaming services, so for fans of all music, no matter what the genre, check me out. And if you don't like it, that's okay. I appreciate your time.
We will be sure to all check it out and then simultaneously discuss it next week and not invite you.
You don't have to discuss it.
No, we're going to do it. We're going to do it while somebody else on the podcast in place so we can talk about you while you're not here.
Oh, fair enough.
I think that's only fair.
It's actually probably a lot better.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Also with us this evening, she is not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR, where she is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text. It's Betsy.
Look, I paid attention to those intros that whole time because you guys
Somehow we got through it without talking about the wrestling pay-per-view from Sunday night. So
I know, what the hell. Revolution was great.
Outstanding.
Hey, sorry, I'm literally hung a man.
God, see? Damn it, you guys.
Go ahead, Betsy.
Nothing. I'm good. I'm like doing my, I have like all my nail polish stuff ready to go. In case you guys took too long.
You weren't watching a frog TikTok like you were last week?
I shared that with you. Was that not the cutest thing ever though?
It was pretty great.
Thank you. Did I share it at Second City? I don't remember if I put it in the post.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do it. Everybody needs to see it.
All right. You put it in the comments when this article goes live at the website on Tuesday, so Wednesday.
Everybody can know fraud.
Yeah, Froderick.
No, he got his name shortened to Fraud.
Oh, just Fraud. Sorry. Didn't mean to insult Emperor Fraud.
Yes.
All hail Fraud. We did two episodes last week because the trade deadline passed. Blackhawks made a bunch of moves. Most of them we've already discussed. The Patrick Kane one, probably the biggest among them. They made a few other deals that most likely can be just written off as paper trades. Although I would like to stand up for 1 second and take a really quick bow because I called the Max Domi trade. You're welcome. He's not on the Blackhawks anymore. He is now the Dallas Stars problem. They sold high. Thank you very much. And I look forward to...
To quote Austin Powers, stand up, Dad. Take a bow.
I will. And I look forward to being correct again in the future. Outside of that, it was a lot of... The Blackhawks made a lot of trades where it was like, okay, who's that guy? Okay, who's that guy? Who's that guy? I don't know who any of these people are.
You want our new Lord and Savior, Bjork?
Anders Bjork.
Anders Bjork.
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 Yeah, like
the Icelandic screaming.
Yes. Like, are we not familiar with the Icelandic?
Not as good as actual Bjork.
I thought it was the sound that one puppet made, the chef puppet.
Oh, Bork, Bork.
Bork, Yo, Bork, Bork. 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 Okay, sorry.
Look into Bjork. She's really good. She's a great singer.
All I know is that I was in Iceland in December and I walked through a punk rock music hall of fame and Bjork was mentioned heavily as the biggest music star to come out of Iceland. And I think she had some influence on some of the bands that were referenced in that museum. That's all I got for you on Bjork. Anders Bjork also went to Notre Dame. So make of that what you will. And he was traded for the well-publicized future considerations. So I guess Blackhawks won their at trade already. Dylan Sakura was traded to Anaheim for Maxim Golod. I still don't know who that person is.
You will never know.
I don't think we have to know who that is.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Good. Moving on. then the Blackhawks acquired Austin Wagner also for future considerations. Another AHL player we probably don't need to talk about.
He's actually supposed to join the Blackhawks, I think. Apparently, that's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
But he has
they're out of warm bodies.
Exactly. But also, he's injured right now. He's okay. An infection or something, which is gross sounding, but.
Okay. Yeah.
sorry.
It's like, oh, hopefully it passes soon or whatever. But yeah, so we talked about all the big trades last week. Max Domi's gone, and I just there's really not anything else to talk about. They got Anton Khudobin, who is going to play down in Rockford to kind of fortify the goalie situation there because Dylan Wells went to Dallas in the trade, who was one of the Ice Hogs goalies this year. And just because of all the injury issues they've had down on the farm, that's why Khudobin's there. Is it Khudobin or Khudobin? I thought it was.
Wasn't he randomly good when they went to the final?
He had a few years.
But yeah. Also, it's weird that they traded for, like, other than him being a veteran, Dylan Wells was actually performing better than him. But Dylan Wells played in, 17 games, and I think he had more. I think he's got, the best save percentage among the – no, Mitchell Weeks has the best one. But, yeah, it's Mitchell Weeks – Dylan Wells, then Stauber, then Soderblom, because they broke Soderblom. He was doing great before he went to the Blackhawks and then went back broken.
Yeah. But Mill, you're correct. Khudobin was the goalie when Dallas went to the Stanley Cup in the bubble year. It caught a bit of a heater that year. But he's now 36 years old. He'll be 37 in May. So I think
that's what it means. We're in business.
He's collecting as many paychecks as he can before he has to retire.
I mean, look, Hoshnick and fucking Waugh, they played to 60, so we'll be fine.
And hopefully he gets several of them. Good for him. Get all the money you can while you can.
Round of applause.
So what we're going to do right now this evening, instead of talking all about trades and all that, and I've been trying to perfect his voice all day. It's not going to work, so I'm not even going to try it anymore. I was going to do the guy from Saw who says, "I want to play a game," in a really creepy voice, because that's about how much fun this is going to be, I think. Just anytime we're talking about the Blackhawks.
I think only a quarter of the panel was born when that movie. No, I'm just kidding. That movie's only 20 years. No, it's 2004.
Hang on.
Yeah, Saw.
I want to play a game. No, that's not it at all. But anyway. The game is called Yes, No, Maybe So. how this is going to work, I'm going to go down the Blackhawks roster. We're going to set the age cutoff at their age 27 season, meaning that player will be was at or the age 27 season means they were 27 at the start of it or will turn 27 during it. If they are older than that, we're not going to talk about them because they probably don't matter in the long run. But anybody 27 and under is going to be part of this discussion. The three I will name the player. The responses will be yes, no, or maybe so in terms of whether or not you are interested in their futures with the Blackhawks. Feel free to toss in a qualifying statement if you wish for any three of the responses, but that's where we're going with this topic. And so
what are the yes, no, maybe so?
Yes, no, maybe so. Does it, it just rolls off the tongue perfectly, doesn't it? Thought of this all myself. Very proud. So
good job.
So thanks, Shay. Sometimes my genius astounds even myself. So we're going to start at the very top. I think this one might, well, and no, I'm not going to give you an off the board choice. We're going to stick to those three. The very first one, and we'll just go in the order I usually do. So Shay, Betsy, Mill, we'll keep that rotation of three going. Starting first, the famous player we've already talked about once today, Joey Anderson.
No. What?
Betsy.
Maybe so.
Mill?
I don't have a goddamn clue who that is. So
he's one of the guys who came over in the Leafs trade.
I saw that they traded for no, I saw that, but I'm like, yes, I'll just be the outlier. Yes.
Why?
Because
I'm just telling you, I think your default answer in this game, I'm just gonna throw this out there, should probably be no.
Well, yeah. Who the fuck else do they have? That's my answer.
Well, that's
what we're going over.
That might be the part of the game.
Part of the game.
All right. So that was a good opening round. I just really quick, I want to go through some of the players who were going to skip
over. Joey Anderson. That's a fucking NHL 2K like regen.
Joey Anderson is the guy that you draft in like 2031 when you're simming 20 years into the future.
He also
in
probably
2031. With your fourth round pick.
I also would bet money that some guy named Joey Anderson pitched for both the White Sox and the Cubs.
All right. Then we're doing this next round. I'm going to look that up on Baseball Reference and we'll see what happens. But really quickly, some of the players are going to be excluding because they are over the age 27 season. Athanasiu, Colin Blackwell, Tyler Johnson, Seth Jones, Jujhar Khaira, Peter Mrazek, Connor Murphy, Alex Stalock.
So everybody who I know who they are.
Exactly. Jared Tenorti.
There's a few.
And Nikita Zaitsev. Sorry, Mill, you don't get
to. I mean, a lot of those were going to be no's anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, most of them. Probably at least part of the reason would be no, because they're too old to be considered for a team in a rebuild.
So
I feel like 27 was like the perfect cutoff to where maybe they're still young enough where they could be around when this team's good again. Moving down the line, the object of everybody's eye all of a sudden, Anders Bjork. Shay.
Yes.
Betsy.
Yes.
Mill.
Yeah, because Bjork rules.
We still talking about the player or the musician?
I think Bill's talking about the musician.
I do too.
Yeah, but I'm going to roll
with his reasons.
All right.
I think he's a solid third liner going forward.
While we're on this topic, or while we're on Anders Bjork, I just want to, like, it was cool that he had three primary assists in the game the other night. Congratulations, great night. No slouch to him, but, like, just... Can we pump the brakes just a little bit? Like, first of all, I think at least two of those goals were so soft that any other NHL wouldn't stop them. So
Mad Sogard sucked that
Mad
game.
Sogard had a real bad night. So at least two of those assists should not have counted. And also, like, assists are cool and all. Like, if he had made, like, three, like, Patrick Kane spinorama backhands to set up every one of those goals, then we can talk about it. Like, one of the passes to Seth Jones was a really legitimate great pass. Right down, right through the slot, set him up well. I'm not going to put this dude in the Hall of Fame because of one game. So I would just like to collectively pump the brakes on the Anders Bjork thing. Let's see him do some more stuff. And then maybe we can take the foot off the brake and hit the gas. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
If he scores three assists against like Colorado, then it's time to be like, okay, is Anders Bjork a first liner going forward?
score three assists. He just, if he's he plays consistently and produces a little bit, he's fine.
Yeah, like you can
need to just be calm.
Sam Gagne had a 9-point game twice against the Blackhawks, so let's
don't remind me. I stayed up.
Sam Gagne had a pretty good NHL career and was a very good power play specialist.
Okay, but not
Dave, I went to school pissed the next day. Fuck the Oilers.
I would say the point is that like three assists a night is not going to be the norm for Anders Bjork.
Yeah,
this it's going like to be the people, exception, not the rule.
This was like at the beginning of the year when people were like, "Who is Jason Dickinson? Isn't he so great?" And you're like, "No, he's on a fucking high right now. He will come back down to earth, and you will forget that he exists." Which look, is what
hey.
I'm sorry.
We're gonna get to him.
Damn, Betsy, off the top rope. Somebody was watching Revolution the other night, I think.
Look, aside from Seth Jones, fucking Phil Kurashev, and Anthony Seau, pretty much everybody, not counting Reichel, he just got back. Everybody sucks. So let's just
Mill just ended the game. We're trying to play a game here, Mill. We live in a society.
I'll edit this out.
Okay, thank you. Or don't. No one.
Anybody care?
I keep coming back to the Bob Uecker line from Major League. That's all right. No one's listening anyway.
You know, the problem is with us, with our luck, they probably will be when we don't think they are.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Someone's going to call me out on this shit. And I'm just like, look, it's the honest to God's truth.
At least you didn't just like talk about the music you just released. That's you're trying to get all over the internet so people will be able to find you in a much more public setting or anything.
I just want to pay my phone bill.
The millennial dream.
I've done it with Spotify streams before and I'll do it again.
Hey, guess who's next on the list?
Bob Uecker.
Jason Dickinson.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Shay, go ahead.
No.
Betsy.
Maybe so.
Would you like to elaborate on the maybe so then? Like what would it take to change you from that to a yes or a no?
Be less shitty on the penalty kill. I don't think any of them are very good on the penalty kill, but I he runs around weirdly. I don't know if it's they're just trying to make it more aggressive, but that's not great and he doesn't do it well.
Well, yeah,
he's better defensively 5-on-5 than he is on the penalty kill.
They did shift, like, I think it was some point in December, they shifted to a diamond shape on their penalty kill. Like, Ben Pope wrote about this in the Sun-Times. They shifted to a diamond shape, and they actually had a pretty good run of success on the PK for a while. I haven't checked in recently to see what those numbers are up to now.
Did he do his numbers based on goals, or did he do his numbers based on shot suppression? Because shot suppression is key.
I think it was
the goalie standing on their head.
I think it was basically based on success rate of the penalty kill.
Yeah, then that's not.
Mm.
That's a terrible.
Betsy does not approve. Okay.
Nobody who's in analytics would approve.
All right. Moving
on. I'm gonna cut down everybody while I'm.
Yeah.
Painting especially, my nails.
Betsy has gone scorched earth this evening. All right.
Especially when one of the Blackhawks goaltenders is Alex Stalock, who needed to be traded at the deadline. Because that guy's playing ridiculously right now. Any good team, any smart team would have picked up Alex Stalock for the season.
People aren't going to trade for a hurt goalie. Like, I understand your point, Jay, but I don't think enough people.
He's playing out of his mind. He made 3 point fucking six expected the goal goals saved above expected against the Senators on Monday night.
Without Alex Stalock, the Blackhawks would be like 8 or 9 goals below the last place team and goals saved above expected, and we're already in the negatives. So think about that. And then another goals.
They'd be even worse. For sure.
I was really afraid of coming into the season of Peter Mrazek ruining the Blackhawks tank. I was worried about the wrong goddamn goaltender.
Yeah. We didn't finish off the Dickinson topic, so Mill, really quick, your answer.
Short answer yes with an if, long answer no with a but.
That's a maybe so.
Yeah. No.
Sounds like a maybe so to me.
Here's the thing. I'm not interested in him. I'm only interested in him if they can move him for pieces because NHL GMs are stupid.
Fair enough. Well, he's under contract through the next season, so yeah.
Like if they on Twitter, like when somebody scores, they put a graphic with like their nickname. Imagine some team posting like "Dick Move Scores." Anyways, that's my two cents.
Thanks for the joke from middle school Mill.
Middle school Mill, that's my new nickname. Hell yeah, let's go.
All right.
Just kidding. That sounds really bad.
yes, it does. All right, next on the list.
Real journalist.
Andreas Englund, who I've decided to call Drago because Dolph Lundgren is Swedish. And yeah, there you go. Shay.
No, too much like Derek Englund.
Okay.
Bad memories.
Yeah, fair enough. Betsy.
Maybe so.
He's only played two games in Chicago, so I feel like that's probably the general answer of where everyone is. Mill, what about you?
Yeah, I'll say maybe so because I don't know enough yet.
Okay. Up next, Mackenzie Entwistle. Shay.
Maybe so.
Betsy.
Kind of on the no train at this point.
Okay. Mill.
Feel bad for it, but.
No, I just don't think he has much to offer on this type of team. I think if you have a team that's super deep, maybe on the fourth line, but he's just kind of what he is.
I think the way I would elaborate on the no's for that, because I think that's where I'm approaching more, is I feel like he hasn't done enough to stand out as a fourth liner, and that's just like you can probably find another one.
And I think this goes back to something we talked about a lot, where it's like the Hawks have had so many guys like, yeah, they'd be a good fourth liner, and it's like that's all they fucking have.
Yeah, they got a lot of good fourth liners, unfortunately. Yeah,
guys who made the NHL.
Yeah,
there's a reason they're tanking. They need to rebuild their farm system.
Yeah, they don't need to rebuild the fourth line. They've got those. Up next on the hit parade, Cole Gutman. Shay.
Maybe so.
Betsy.
Yes, I love Cole.
Mill.
Gutman. I'll say maybe so. I haven't seen enough.
Yeah, we haven't seen enough from him.
I watched the iThoughts and listened to the iThoughts. So.
Oh. I because I'm closer to Betsy's camp to where I think there's been enough from him to warrant future looks. And if he's on the team next season, it's not going to keep a roster spot from anybody else. So might as well give him a shot.
I want to preface this, though, with like my perspective is a little bit tainted because I remember like having this thought process, much, albeit much younger, with the rebuilding Hawks before they got good. And there was guys who were like, yeah, they're like, yeah, we want them or they're going to be good or no. And half the time I was completely wrong. So it's hard to tell.
Fair enough.
I think he's in the like Suter when he was on the team. Like he's in like that camp where if you put him in the right role, he could probably do well. But it totally depends on the role he's in.
I mean, we thought Kyle Calder was going to be God, and Jason Suckamore was drafted. Cullamore. He was drafted very highly, and they brought him back, asshole. So, I just don't know anything, to be honest.
Yeah, that was middle school Mill chiming in again. Hey, because you went back to 2004.
God damn, that was brutal.
Yeah, reality hurts like that.
But better than this team.
Not much.
Arguably.
Next, yeah. Up next, Caleb Jones. Shay.
No.
Betsy.
No.
Mill.
No, and I will say no because he sucks.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, good. We're all in agreement. Moving on. Boris Kachuk.
No.
Betsy.
No.
Mill.
No. Don't care. No.
Same. I think similar camp as Entwistle. Fourth liner, easily replaced.
He's probably worse than that whistle. He just is irrelevant.
Like, might be back next season, but like, if somebody else comes along, like, I'm totally indifferent. Who cares?
There's off the ice stuff that I'm still curious about in terms of Kachuk.
Yeah, we'll see how that.
I hear that, but even on the ice, like the off the ice stuff would be enough to be like, get out of here.
Yeah,
because exactly. He's not good on the ice. He doesn't just irrelevant.
Up next, well, this I think where we know all the answers here. Philip Kurashev.
Shay. Yes.
Betsy.
Yes. Yes.
Mill.
Yes, but like I want them to put him in a position to succeed because I feel like we could see a lot more from him, but it's not really his fault.
Well, he's playing.
Are you saying that a first line center is in the position to succeed for him?
No, what I'm saying is there's nobody for him to play with right now.
Yeah, and also first line center isn't where he could see. He's not a first line center. Like
right, no, right.
The team is terrible, but that's.
He's a good player, and we all like him, and he's a nice piece, but he's not, like, he is what he is. He's a good player.
You'd like to see him on a team, like, if you're thinking about, like, the Blackhawks of years past, you know, third line.
Middle six guy.
Supported. Chris Versteeg.
Yeah.
Chris Versteeg.
I think better than Versteeg.
I wouldn't rule that out, Jay, but I think just, like, the similar idea where – could get you by in a pinch. If like the idea with Kershev is you want to have enough forward depth that Phil Kershev is on your third line, and then your third line is really damn good.
Let me say this about Versteeg, because I know what Shea's saying, but also I'm going back before the 13, 14, 15 teams. 14, 15, he wasn't here in 13. Versteeg used to be able to create offense himself.
Also, he was really good on even in the 15 with Richards and Kane. That line was crazy good. Richards didn't get as many points, but that's because he was doing a lot of the grunt work on that line.
And, no, he was. You're right. But he had Calder votes when he was a rookie.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but he was a good player.
A good player, yeah. And Kershev shows flashes of that, but he's not consistent. But
he had to play for goddamn Colleton, so it's not his fault.
Versteeg played with much better quality overall of a team than Kershev ever has.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also put with
by a long, long gap right there. Holy
and better. Obviously better coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with everybody.
All right, one player that I think this might split the room a little bit. Ian Mitchell, Shea.
No, at this point, no.
Betsy.
Maybe so.
Mill.
I'm on the maybe so train because I don't know yet. It's they haven't given him any fucking opportunity to succeed.
I would have been like a hard yes for a long time, and because I enjoy players of Mitchell's prototypes, I really wanted him to be good, and I just want to see
if he was going to be good. He would have been good already. I hate to say that.
No, it's hard to tell because Colleton had him and he preferred fucking Nikita Zadorov. So
like Mitchell's only played 71 games at the NHL level. He's also 24 years old and he turns 25. He turned 24 in January.
And Richardson won't play. He literally came out and said that he thinks the veterans deserve to play. And so that's why he doesn't play the young kids. And that's stupid,
That's the coach for at least next year, too. So Ian Mitchell's probably not going to get any time if the coach for next year, and we can have is Luke Richardson a good coach? No. Conversation later.
Take away those toys. Take away the toys.
And he tried to.
He tried to. And then he picked up Zestov or whatever his fucking name is.
Zestov.
There you go.
At some point, it's
Norty on waivers. There's no.
Yes, but at some point, it can't only be Davidson's fault that Luke Richardson, who is a bad coach,
Well, that was a hell of a time to have some technical difficulties, right? As we were getting to. It did get to a point where I'm not really sure what Shea and Betsy were yelling, because I think the yelling over each other just kept getting louder and louder and louder, and I was just the guy leaning back in his chair eating the popcorn gift.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we'll break down... We break down who will be cutting... Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
I guess the main thing I would say just in regards to that, Shay, is just that I feel like that is a blind spot of NHL coaches in general, of this weird deference to veterans that seems to only exist in hockey.
It's like trust versus like physical abilities.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like
Seabrook had that too.
I feel like in every other sport, it's like, if this young guy is better, get his ass in the lineup. I can't think of any other sport where they play the old guys over.
Definitely
the young guys.
Definitely not fucking basketball.
Yeah. Because the old guys are, you know, veterans and they've earned the right or whatever. Like that's such, well, I agree with you that it's not a good thing that Luke Richardson does it, but I also feel like he's a symptom of the disease.
I could name another sport, but that it would bum you out.
Go for it.
U.S. soccer.
Oh, shit.
Their
second great forward who's just like,
yeah, bye, Bessie. We'll see you in 5 minutes. Shay, you didn't bum me out. You infuriated me by reminding me. That's
U.S. soccer is like the defense is like a red carpet to the net. And yeah, go River.
Okay. Up the Saints. What were we talking? I'm just going to force this right back on the tracks before we slam off the rail again. So we just did Ian Mitchell. So we've got all our, well, we probably don't have all the yelling out of our system yet, but we're working on it. Next on the list of yes, no, maybe so, Taylor Radish. Shay.
No.
Betsy.
Maybe so.
Mill.
Yes. I have reasons. Also, I'm pouring myself a shot. So here's Taylor Radish.
Okay. Well, Bill Pill pours himself a shot. I'll go on why I'm a firm no. He just doesn't do anything for me. He's a fine player, but he's never stood out to me. I think it's all the teammates. I think he's all quality of teammate as a player.
I actually agree with Shay, and that's kind of why I said yes, but I'll flip that when I get to my turn. But here's to you three, because you're getting me through this Hawks season. So cheers.
Cheers.
You three and you three only.
The only thing I'll say about Taylor Radish, he'll certainly be back next season because he's under contract for one more year, and his cap hit's only $758,000. So he's not going anywhere. But I wrote, I mentioned that, I think in the last game recap I did, I was trying to think of a moment that Taylor Radish has had this season that stood out, and I don't have one. I cannot remember a single goal he has scored, a play he has set up, and I feel like I've watched an unhealthy amount of this Blackhawks team. So,
yeah.
Okay.
He's got 26 points, but I dare you to recall one.
I want to give my two cents on him. Hopefully
it adds up to $758,000 cap hit, but please go.
It won't. I should make more than him. But here's the thing. Shay's right. It's quality of teammates. However, I'm looking at this through the view of rebuilding, and I think if you had a quality line, he would pick up a lot of points. We saw that in the past. He has some sort of vision. He has some sort of hands, but he doesn't create it himself. He has to have some good teammates. So I think that they could get something for him. So I'm saying yes, but to flip him, but I don't think they should let him walk.
Oh, yeah. So it's the same as the Dickinson logic.
Yeah.
Kind of, but I think he's a better, I think he has, let me say he's not better. He has more talent than Dickinson, in my opinion. I've seen him do things where I go, okay, he has some finesse, he has hands, he has skill. There are some things you can't really quantify it in numbers, but, and I'm sure all three of you would say the same thing. You could tell when a guy can get it done in that moment.
Yeah.
He's not great. He's not an all-star, but he's not trash.
He seems like he should have an NHL career of more than like 50 games. Like he'll probably play several hundred.
Should have probably stayed with the Lightning.
Well, yeah.
No, he wouldn't have.
He wouldn't have cracked the lineup, and that's what. Well, that's one I mean, the they just traded for
that,
no.
that one dude from Nashville that's nothing. So
Tanner, no.
They fucking gave up everything for him.
Tanner Jeannot not going to win the Stanley Cup.
You know.
Hold the Mike Ditka for fucking Tanner Jeannot.
So Taylor Radish is under contract for next year. So maybe he'll go off next year with Bedard as a line mate or something. I don't know. Next on the list, I think this one's pretty easy. Lucas Reichel.
Yes.
Betsy? Mill?
Easy, yes.
All right. Yes. Moving on. That one's nice and easy. And this is the last one. And it's kind of funny that we're going to end on this one because the way we kind of talked about earlier, Austin Wagner.
Are we ending on this one? I thought because there's other players we could talk about.
There are actually a few more. This is just the active roster, so I might pull up some Ice Hawk stuff and see if there's any other names worth discussing. I mean, we can get into the Brett Cini conversation again if you wanted to. But Austin Wagner. Yeah, okay. Austin Wagner.
Maybe so. He's not the domestic abuser. That's Austin Watson, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, maybe so.
Betsy.
Maybe so. I don't.
It's like he hasn't played an NHL game or an NHL game with the Hawks yet. He hasn't played in the NHL since the 21 season with the Kings. So there's that. Mill, you got anything?
Maybe so, because like you said, I don't think any of us have really seen him, especially at the pro level.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we certainly haven't seen him. I mean, I don't remember any of his time with the Kings, unfortunately.
I haven't seen him at all. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah. I might have watched a game of his not knowing he was playing in it. So that's about the best I could offer.
And if you don't notice them, then it's – and especially when it's like any of us, it's like kind of – Yeah, they didn't do anything.
Yeah,
He played the 21 season with the Kings, which was almost all, which was all against Vegas.
Yeah,
and I don't remember him.
Yeah,
and they wore those shitty chrome helmets.
Yeah, and so the Hawks would have not played him at any point that season. So there you go. Let's jump down to the Ice Hogs real quick. There's a few defensemen we can get into. Yeah, I'm gonna skip all these forwards. Who cares? Philip Roos, Shea.
Who?
No, you don't remember Philip Roos?
No.
The big European import.
Okay. Maybe.
Betsy.
Yes.
Mill.
Wait, we're not talking about Roos, are we? Because
No.
Roos is badass.
Roos is badass, but this is Philip Roos.
Oh, don't know shit about him.
Betsy's talking about a wrestler.
El Toro Blanco, baby, let's go.
Like, Mill doesn't know the hockey player, I don't know the wrestler. Let's
you gotta understand, when I stop like knowing about hockey players, my life has really gone to hell, because I used to care.
To be fair to all you guys, played like 5 seconds because Richardson wouldn't play young kids.
Well, you have to understand.
Okay. I'll go back to Shay's point. Yeah, it's true. You wouldn't play him in the beginning.
At some point, you have to question what the fucking interview was like. Kyle Davidson, we want someone who will coach our young kids because we're going to be looking towards the future. Luke Richardson, sure. If he said yes to I'm going to play the young kids at any point, he's a bad coach. That's straight up.
If you have that discussion and then give him Jack Johnson,
has to have. Davidson has to have gone into coaching interviews over the offseason with the intent in mind of tanking. He has to have been like, yeah, we need someone who will develop the kids. And if that was the goal, then either Davidson failed or Richardson lied.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Richardson or Davidson went into it like that. It doesn't sound like it anyway. And he could take the toys away if he didn't like it. Same.
I'm going to go back to like prefacing, you know, the first rebuild of my life, which is like the coaches and GM were all gone by the time they won.
It's true.
And also there was a lot of people who were hyped up who sucked and a lot of people that were under the radar that were good. So this is kind of a crapshoot. We know more about like analytics and stuff now. Like I get that, but also it's like, who the fuck knows?
So is that going to be a yes from you, dog, on Philip Roose, or?
I just don't know. Like, I don't like. Okay. I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch them play like shit. I went through this already once in my life.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And I don't mean like be subpar. I mean like they suck.
Yeah. They're bad. They're bad.
And hard, and it's hard to watch.
All right.
And it wouldn't be hard if I didn't care, but it's hard because we care.
I've got three more players, and then we can wrap up this wonderful, enthralling game of yes, no, maybe so.
Next time, can we play Sorry or like Clue?
Waiting game sucks. Let's play Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Way better than this game.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm just kidding, Dave. I'm just kidding.
Do you know how
kidding.
Much time I spent preparing this game?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to flip the board.
Hungry Hungry Hippos is actually ass. Like, it's not like it's Operation or something sick.
Okay,
like
I'm now going to get us right back on the track.
Who's Isaac player, Phillips.
Dave? Yes.
Betsy.
Yes.
Mill.
Yes, because the other two said yes. And actually, he's good. Like, I've seen shit.
Alec Regula. Shay.
Maybe so.
Betsy.
Yes.
Mill.
Yes for the Bulls.
Okay. I think I'm a solid yes on those two. And then here the last which is a player I don't think we've seen at the NHL level at all this year, but we'll go with it anyway. Jacob Galvis. Maybe Jakob Galvis. I can't remember how to pronounce it exactly, but Shay.
Yeah, passed by like five defensemen, so no.
Betsy?
Maybe so.
Mill?
I'm going to say maybe so because some of those guys, it does take a little bit extra time to develop.
I think I'm more in Shay's camp of no, more just as to Shay's point of like, it seems that just he's been passed by like everybody else on the depth chart. And with
but what does the Hawks know about defensemen?
Well, that is a valid point.
Well, that's hopefully going to prove out over the next 5 years is players like Korchinski and
Allen. I seriously hope you're right. I'm just talking about the last, like, the past, that's all.
Like the last 20 years when they haven't drafted and developed the defensive.
Look, we got Keith Seabrook and Hammer and, you know,
they have 35 blue line prospects. I swear to God, like at least like three of them got to be good.
They drafted and developed Dustin Byfuglien.
Well,
you have to add that name to that list.
He was a forward. He probably played more games at forward in Chicago than he did on
the Someone's Brent Burns. Brent Burns also, is Norris
but
now.
Byfuglien got drafted in a round that doesn't exist anymore, too.
And also, Byfuglien was drafted before Elmerson was. So,
but I just want to say this. No, I'm being serious. I hope Korchinski in particular is legit because his skill set does look very special. However, if the Hawks fuck him up, I'm going to blame the Hawks because they tend to do that.
Yeah.
Look at all these
110%.
Like, they draft all these guys who have skill. Like, you know, fucking Colorado could have drafted him. And guess what? He'd be in the playoffs this year.
There are so many.
At 16 years old.
If he doesn't develop well, I'm saying it's because he took the Lord's name in vain. He compared himself to Shea Theodore. You can't do that.
Okay, I thought this was like a Marian Hossa thing. I forgot your
name. All he said was that he wanted to model his game after him.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
But I don't really see a lot of Shea Theodore in his
I don't
game.
Either, actually, but that's...
No,
I feel like
exactly,
he's
taking the Lord's name in vain.
Very, very out on a limb here, but it's more like, to me, it's like Ottawa Carlson.
Yeah, there you go. Give me Erik Karlsson part two. I'm down.
And I'm not saying he will be that. I'm just saying the way that he plays and skates.
I'm saying right now.
Karlsson, especially in Ottawa, was excellent.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I bummed out about making the Erik Karlsson comparison is that's what we all said about Adam Boqvist for a while. So, but let's.
Well, that's what Adam Boqvist said about Adam Boqvist.
Well, actually, Boqvist never said that about. He never compared himself to that.
What all the scouting reports said on.
Yeah, the scouting guys.
And I don't think it's because they were countrymen, but whatever.
Worst case scenario, Fulton Reed.
He's not big enough.
Yeah, he can skate way better, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I think that's the end of the game. So, congratulations. I don't think anybody won. But that was the first.
I think we all lost.
I think all four of us won because we're here together and we're having fun.
I think Mill is taking the shots.
Yes, I think so too. I think the players that got unanimous yeses won. Like Isaac Phillips, he won.
I think the people who
lost... Betsy say she'll pour another one? Is that what she said?
Yes. Another one for everybody.
I do have to edit this when we're done. I have to go to work tomorrow morning.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's true.
I think the people who lost are the ones who are still listening, but thank you for being here. We appreciate you very much. There's another news thing that happened this evening that has some Blackhawks significance because of a game coming up in a few weeks. I'm gonna let Shay take the floor here on this because I know Shay has some thoughts on this. So go right ahead.
Wait, are we not pausing? Are we not pausing?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, we're not. We're not gonna pause. We're gonna go full bore right into it.
Okay. The Minnesota Wild canceled their Pride Night. And by canceled, I mean they're like they're just not really doing anything to support it.
Here, yeah, they're not where they're doing like some of the initiatives. That's the phrase they use was initiatives. They're not wearing the jerseys in the pregame skate, which I guess is something that they said they were going to do, and then they did not.
This is the forewarning. There's going to be a lot of sarcasm here. I am a non-binary pansexual person. The fucking lack of support in the NHL community ever since Ivan Provorov rot in hell said, like, I'm not the supportive community of marginalized people who are continually under attack by Republican governors for no reason at all recently. Again, fuck you, Ivan Provorov. I'm sorry for the swears, but I'm really not. Fuck him. He is one of the worst people I've ever fucking heard of in hockey, and I'm sure a lot of more people are like that, and that's why these teams, like the Rangers and the Minnesota Wild, who should know better, both of them have large queer communities in their represented areas. New York City is filled with queer people. So is Minnesota. There's a lot of people in the Twin Cities that identify as queer.
They're in every city. This community is everywhere.
Right. We're in Atlanta. We're in LA. We're in San Antonio.
I'm in the suburbs. The communities in the suburbs too. So like, it's not just a city thing.
What's going on is wrong. If you're doing this for one or two players, like I think a few, like the Rangers and Wild might have, although the Wild's owner is also a problematic person. Then just out those players. Let's just be real. Those players are free to express their opinions. We in this country have a weird thing with the freedom of speech, and I say this as a journalist. We do have the freedom of speech. That doesn't entitle you to the freedom from consequence. If you're going to be, you're allowed to say your shit. Say it. If you are a Nazi, you should get punched. If you are a fascist, you should get punched. I believe that should be my freedom of speech. That doesn't mean I don't get consequences for that. Of course I do, but I'm able to say my shit. At a time when trans people are getting when there was a round of applause at CPAC for the extermination of trans people, which was literally what happened at that conservative conference. When one party in a two-party system that should not be a two-party system, but when one party in a two-party system has just lost their minds, it's just gone. I don't know if it was ever there, but they've lost their collective minds. When that happens, you need to stand up and do things. And the NHL's Hockey is for Everyone initiative that I reported on from my master's thesis, it's just gone. The cowardice and the lack of a backbone on display by teams like Minnesota and New York is disgusting. The Blackhawks have a Pride Night coming up. We'll see. Unfortunately, I won't be. I might not be around covering them. But I'll put this in the good hands of Second City 2.0. If they back out, there's going to be hell to pay because there's a lot of queer people in Chicago.
Yeah.
And the Blackhawks are going to take a massive beating.
So that game is Sunday, March 26th against the Canucks. It's coming up in a few weeks. And if you go back, I was going through the Getty archives for an article just to look this up. There are multiple instances where the Blackhawks have had Pride Nights and their players have worn the rainbow jerseys in the pregame skate. So if they decide not to do that this season, it is a clear step backwards and a clear kowtowing to whatever this outrage machine that exists about I don't understand why this is such a big deal to the people who are not wearing these jerseys. I just don't that's the part of me that I don't understand why, like, if you're not a part of that community and they are wearing those jerseys, like, it has no effect on you. So I don't understand why there's so much moral outrage about this entire situation.
You know what's the stupidest part is that, like, so they're sitting there. First of all, they're using religion, which is a faulty institution in the first place. But you have these international players that have no problem wearing American military jerseys.
Yeah.
Yes, American military jerseys. And also, Minnesota's doing a Blue Lives Matter night.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, but these they have tons of internet, like, these people, these players from, like, you know, other, like, Russia have no reason to want to wear an Americanized military jersey, but they still do it because they don't care. Like, it's not a big deal to them because it shouldn't be. Do it if that's the initiative that the NHL wants to do. Fine, whatever. It's stupid, but do it for Pride Night too. It's not that big a deal.
Just, yeah,
it's a rainbow, bro.
And what going back to the Flyers thing. Like, I think the shittiest part of that whole situation was, the thing that gets lost in the shuffle is that, like, there's players like James Van Riemsdyk is heavily involved in the LGBTQ community in Philadelphia. And he was, like, heavily involved in all the things that were going on that night. And he, like, after the game, he was meeting with a bunch of people for, like, 45 minutes, shaking hands, signing autographs, taking pictures, all this stuff. And then he has to come back in the locker room and answer questions because of his shitty teammate. And, like, and the thing that gets completely lost in the shuffle is all the good shit that James Van Riemsdyk is doing, the legitimate outreach that is happening among James Van Riemsdyk and I'm sure several other players, because there were other players with him, but then other names escape me at the moment.
And it was like their third or fourth line center who's
And it gets lost in the shuffle because of one guy. And that's, like, I hate that is a thing that exists in this country, that, like, the good shit gets lost because the outrage is where all the focus goes to. And, like, it's not that's just the way it works in every aspect of life. Like, the good shit gets lost in the shuffle so many times. And I hate that, because there's good things that are happening. And I'm sure, like, there's, like, with relation to the Blackhawks, on the Seattle Thunderbirds, Kevin Korchinski is there. Colton Dock is there. And Nolan Allen is there. I think Kevin Korchinski's D pairing tonight on the lines of Seattle Thunderbirds tweeted was Luke Prokop. Am I saying that right? Luke Prokop?
Yep, Prokop.
Okay. Prokop. He is a National Predators prospect and came out as gay within the last year or two. But he's the first player under an NHL contract to come out as openly gay. And he's playing with three Blackhawks prospects right now. And I assume that, you know, they've been teammates for a while. They've had conversations. I assume when guys like Korchinski and Allen and Colton Dock come up to the NHL level, if they're presented with the opportunity to wear Pride jerseys, they'll just be like, yeah, okay.
Of course.
Why not? And so I just hope my hope is that this is just like, it's just like the evolution. And over time, this will become less and less of a thing. But again, to set the standard, like, the Blackhawks, I'm looking at a picture right now. They had a Pride night. It was April 12th, 2022. There's a picture of Patrick Kane in a pregame jersey with rainbow numbers on his sleeves and on the back. So if the Blackhawks don't do that again in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm sure there will be a massive controversy about it, because it would be a significantly unfortunate step backwards. And I swear to God, like, if the Blackhawks just wanted to be just completely, like, cynical about this and just go, hey, we can score some good points with people if we just do this after all the shit we've done for the last 5 years. Fine. I don't really, like, just do it.
Do it. Please. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I beg you, just this one time, just do the right thing and we cannot have to deal with it anymore. At least in Chicago.
Yeah. Yep. That's really all there is to say.
The bar is, like, on the ground.
The bar is on the ground.
Just step over it. Please. That's all we're asking.
Yeah. And like the Blackhawks had, like, they wore the Black History Month jerseys in February that were designed by, I think it was a local cool Chicago kid who did.
Yes.
So, like, they've done other initiatives already. And I just, you know, just keep, keep doing it.
Keep that energy. Yeah.
Keep that energy. There you go.
And again, there's a reason I will always go to bat now for Brad Marchand, because he's done a lot for the community. And while that's insane to say, he's never struck me as anything but a great guy off the ice.
Okay.
And
I'm glad you qualified because on the ice,
it's the same thing with PK Subban.
I was just about to go there. Like, PK Subban, I hope he's like, does every media bit that exists for the rest, as long as he wants to do it. I fucking hated it. He was so shitty as a player. He was just the constant like slash, slew foot, cheap shot here and there. But yeah. So
I still remember when he pulled the WWE move on Jonathan Taves in that suite.
I didn't get
penalized for it.
We don't talk about that sweep anymore.
We don't talk about 2017.
All right. Well, I guess we're on to got to reclaim our mantle as the best food themed hockey podcast on the internet. And Mill might be several more shots in, so this could be a lot of fun. Depending on what number he's consumed at this point.
Oh no, I've been waiting for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Before I want to take a shot to all of you, because here's to being good people.
Oh, there you go. Oh, another shot. Yeah.
Taking one. I'm happy to be a part of this group. I just straight up, you know, thank you guys.
Cheers, Mill. It's not alcoholic, but it's not water.
Doesn't matter if it's alcoholic or not. Just saying, here's to Yens.
Here's to you. Yeah.
Sorry. That was
that came out.
Yeah, it did. Sorry, that's what happens when you're around my family all the time. But
are you shotgunning Iron City? Is that what's going on?
No, I got forced. Unfortunately, I was in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago for a funeral. But thank you. But I got 430 racks because they come in 30s. So
Mill's ready for the spring.
What's funny is I got 8 or 7 or 8 when I went for my birthday 6 months ago, because people were buying them for me. Like, I didn't buy that many.
Do you have 30 racks? Is that what's going on right now?
No, I ran out. But I ran out. I crossed over, so I didn't run out like before I got more. So,
all right. Well, hey, let's get to this food take so we can wrap it up. Okay, it's SCH After Dark, and it's getting late here, Mill. And I know you got to work tomorrow.
I do, but here's the thing. I am a big believer in the air fryer. It's not the grill, okay? And it's not like good cooking, but I think it kicks the absolute shit out of the microwave and even the toaster oven. You can modify it to make different things. You can make fries crispier. You can make anything, pretty much anything in there. So I'm just saying, I really back the air fryer, and I'm hoping to get like a more elaborate one, maybe with the French doors pretty soon. You know, I don't know what you guys think.
I think the air fryer changed the cooking game in a significant way, and we have not fully appreciated how much it has changed the cooking game.
Have you seen those ovens that like are air fryers and ovens? There was a really fancy.
Yeah, they have like the French doors, right?
No, well, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen that one. The one that I saw recently on, like, it just was on like the ads for like Instagram or something like that. And I went and looked it up and was like, shit, this is really expensive. But, oh, how cool. And it was like the front door could open at the top. And it would be an air fryer because it's sealed. And then if you opened a little, like the different part of the handle, it would then open the full door. And you just had to take out the like shelf that was solid in the middle. That was the just.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So those are really cool.
Those are really expensive. But
the one that I have is just from Costco. But it's still legit. Like, it makes shit really good.
All right. So Mill, what's your go-to? What if you had to pick your top line center of what you're going to cook in your air fryer, what's it going to be?
You know, it's funny. Like,
what are you building your food? What are you going to rebuild your food franchise around?
You know,
who
what's
is
really,
your Connor Bedard? Sorry, go on.
You know, what's really good in the air fryer is salmon, but also hot dogs. And even though I don't really cook it for me right now, is pork chops.
Ooh, I just had dinner and I'm hungry again now.
Cause it's like, it's not greasy.
Have you ever had the salmon sushi bake in the air fryer?
Yeah. Okay. Not in the air fryer, no. But no, I like salmon sushi.
100% do it.
Big sushi fan.
Yes. And sushi bakes in general are great, but they're salmon. I agree with Mill. Salmon is one of the one things that I think fish in general do really well in the air fryer, but salmon is obviously delicious. But I've never had a bad sushi bake before, but eats even better in the air fryer.
And I'm not going to lie. So I'm about to buy like a big flat top grill in a couple weeks when summer hits, or spring, I guess. And I'm going to be comparing stuff between the flat top and the air fryer, because even though the air fryer is much cheaper, I feel like it competes.
This is the kind of boots on the ground reporting that we are going to become famous for. God damn it.
And don't get me wrong.
It's flat top grill versus air fryer.
Grilling and barbecue is its own thing. Don't get me wrong. But there are some foods where it's kind of like, well, you're cooking it. Like, it's not like you're making a steak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be here. Dave, you might have to come live and experience the flat top.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to come in food? Yeah, and sure. No problem. Sign me up. Save me a few racks of Iron City.
I got you.
All right. Shay, you were going to chime in real quick, I think.
Isn't an air fryer just a convection oven?
Is it? I don't know. I'm not that interested in it. I'll be honest with you.
It makes the oven significantly more convenient, I feel like. So,
yeah, I think it's a convection oven.
Here's what the pro tip I've started telling people with air fryers: just about any leftovers you have should be reheated in the air fryer.
Yes.
Like, I could probably throw my microwave away at this point. I don't think I need it anymore. I just need the air fryer. Air fryer, reheat everything, especially like anything that needs to have like a crispiness to it, like any sort of fried chicken or like even reheating pizza in them is outstanding. If you're,
we did for Super Bowl, we did a hot dog bar. So I made all the like vegan, vegetarian hot dogs and brats. I made real brats. I made Polish sausage. I made hot dogs. Did it all in the air fryer. Everybody loved it.
And you didn't call your boy. Come on, Mel.
Next year. I didn't have a party this year. It was just family. But next year, Super Bowl party.
Okay. Sorry, Mel. I won't be there because Justin Fields will be playing, and I don't know if I can be in public for that.
Well, he may be playing Kenny Pickett, so maybe we'll be there together.
Or maybe not. Maybe that's not a good idea. Betsy, what were you going
to
say?
Well, I was just going to say to Shay's point that air fryers are convection ovens, but because they're typically smaller, they are quicker. It's all about speed too, like the convenience of them.
It's like the space and time.
It's whether you were talking about cooking or you were talking about the future of the NHL, it is all about speed.
Yeah, and from what I understand, a regular convection oven cannot do exactly the same thing air fryers do. Like, the way that they work is slightly, like, it's all convection, but it's, like, the way that they work is just slightly different. But either way, I was going to say that you can also bake in them.
Ooh.
If anybody's ever wanted to make, like, a cookie cake, for example, really easy to do. There's also a bunch of containers now that you can put into, like, air fryer safe containers if you wanted to. One, make more than one thing at the same time. You could put like a little like thing inside them that, to split different ingredients, but they work really well for baking.
I was going to say, I just use aluminum foil to try and keep the inside of my air fryer from getting more disgusting than it already is. That is I had the same air fryer for like 4 years, and it's kind of nasty in there. I think I need to get a new one there's just this like extra layer of things around it that I just don't want to know what they are anymore. It's probably a science experiment waiting to happen at this point.
Nice.
All right. Well, this has been quite the episode. We're going to have to start recording late at night more often.
So we can yell?
Yeah. Well,
it's not fair. I want to drink when we're done. I'm trying to drink while we're doing this.
Why not both?
Because I have to edit.
All right, fair enough.
I stare at a computer for 8 hours all day, and I have to go stare at one again.
Good luck with this one then, Mel.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this edition of Musings on Madison. Thanks to everyone for hanging out this evening. Shepherd's on Twitter, @YourHostAsWitness. Mill's @Mill182. I am @DMel57. Betsy's not on Twitter, but she's @SecondCityHockey.com under the name LBR. The main account is @2NDCityHockey. The website is secondcityhockey.com. Stay tuned there for all of our recaps and reviews and all the other good stuff as the Blackhawks play out the stretch of the season. And then go check out Mill's new music, too, because you got to support the fan. So that's going to do it for this episode, and we'll see you next week.